Sí, acá se va.
Bueno, usted ya.
May I just ask you, huh? You just had a glass of milk?
I know, could you
do you?
Yes, he said yes.
How much did he pay for it?
200 shillings.
This young man, whose answers are translated from Kiswahili, has just bought a glass of fresh milk from a kiosk at Shetlango Market at a busy junction just outside Dar es Salaam. This kiosk, a small room with asbestos roofing, caters for people like the young man who come in for refreshment as well as those who want to use the milk at home. It belongs to a Tanzanian, Teranga Kibaria Maari.
Formerly it was illegal to sell milk other than the factory, but the factory which was started by the government had a lot of problems already by the time I started selling milk to the public. I'm the first one to sell milk to the public.
Maari is one of the many Tanzanians who revived the supply of fresh milk after the collapse of the industry soon after independence. It was government policy then that all milk for sale had to come from a parastatal, hence dairy farmers could not supply to anybody else but the government. When the government could no longer pay them well, they gave up, and there was no more fresh milk in Dar es Salaam. The lowly paid civil servants retired from their jobs and grabbed this chance to start supplying fresh milk.
Most of the civil servants, you know, are Tanzanians born in the villages, and as children and so on, they had contact with the cows and whatnot because their parents were keeping them as peasants and farmers. They only got maybe a house from the government where to stay, and a very small salary. And to make their ends meet, they had to keep the cow.
Dr. William Mushawu is a veterinary scientist.
What happened is that most of these fishers from New Zealand, they're meant for parastatal farms, which in those days were a very important aspect of production, because under the socialist policy, the government was very much involved in milk production, milk marketing, and so on. But because the demand was so high of these animals in towns, somehow they could, the civil servants, by virtue of their position and so on, they could somehow bend the laws so that these cows were written off or rejected from these parastatal farms. And as being culled animals, we call them culled animals when they are no longer useful. But in most cases, they were still quite productive and useful.
The civil servants bought these productive cows at low prices and kept them illegally in their backyards. Maari, the former physics technician at a government university, bought a plot in Kimara Seba to keep more cows. He started to supply milk in the area, but the demand grew with time. Hence, he had to source milk from neighboring farms. The farmers would bring their milk to his plot, from where it was transported to the outlets. Now, he is the managing director of Rake Enterprise.
We are selling milk in large quantities, up to 1,000 to 1,500, 2,000 liters per day. And we have about 15 kiosks in town. We are building more. We have for collection centers at Kimara. We are collecting, assisting the neighbor farmers bring their milk. We collect the milk. We sell it and we pay them at the end of the month.
He also has other collection centers further away from Dar es Salaam, where farmers deliver the milk. At the centers, the milk is boiled and put in insulated plastic containers. These containers are then carried on bicycles to the city-bound buses. When they get to Dar es Salaam, Maari then sends a pickup truck to fetch them from the bus station. But with the high temperatures in East Africa, how does he manage to keep the milk fresh?
The Astro project assisted me with a cold room, which I'm using to keep milk before selling. They've also assisted me with a cooling tank.
The Astro project that he talks about is promoting the supply of fresh milk by the informal sector in Dar es Salaam. Dr. Mchao is the project administrator.
We are involved in technology transfer to these farmers who want to have more intensive types of milk production.
They are involved in organizing seminars to teach the farmers and the milk vendors on how to manage the milk business. They have facilitated the coming together of the dairy farmers and vendors to form groups to assist each other in negotiations with buyers as well as lobbying for favorable policies. At the moment, they are trying to get governments to include the groups in the National Dairy Board.
This we've been talking to everybody, including the Minister for Agriculture, and he has reached the point that he understands that if the government forms a dairy board, and you will have people manning the dairy board who doesn't know the difference between a cow and a dog, we'll be in big trouble. We are requesting the government not to start this from the top, because most system which started from the top never worked. We want this one to come from the bottom, and we'll have this regulation.
If this succeeds, then they can be sure that their interests will be served, and their customers will continue to be satisfied, like the young man we met before at the kiosk.
How often does he come here to have a glass of milk?
Three times a day.
3 times a day, so that's a main meal for him, or what?
No, it's not the main meal, but he likes drinking milk.
His parents told him this would be the most nutritious drink, and he observed with repulsion how two American soft drink giants compete with each other next door. At the junction close by, cattle and cars compete for space.
Voices from the South for Ears in the North, presented by Radio Bridge Overseas in Harare, Zimbabwe.